news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Happy birthday, Bon Scott. The great Bon Scott would have been 68 years old today. Ladies and gentlemen, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. This is the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I'm joined by a humming air conditioner. Yes, I'm riding solo tonight. Mega Powers back on the Asian Film Festival circuit with his women and I don't know, whatever the hell he's doing. But we are live. We're alive. See, this is where Miss Dave. Dave does that shtick. We're alive. Live on rantemradio.com. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. The chat room is open. Good afternoon, whoever's listening somewhere else, not, you know, good evening. And Scott's in the studio. No, he's not. Scott is in the chat room. So, what the hell am I doing, man? I'm like, I'm not even, like, prepared today. I'm like, I'm all over the place. My soundboard's all messed up. I missed my cue. I'm a disaster today. Let's play Scott's bumper again here.
There we go.
Oh, you know who else's birthday it is today, too? You know who else's birthday it is today? It's Big Sexy Kevin Nash's birthday. So here's all you Kevin Nash fans out there. Here's one for you.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
I'm the true giant. Bum. Nash dropped me on my big fat drum.
People saying that I dropped you on your head, that this is a malicious attack with malice.
Trying to break my neck.
You're absolutely right.
I may never wrestle again.
I think that gravity worked against you, big guy, if you know what I mean.
Kind of like raising the Titanic.
What goes up must come down. At 500 pounds, it comes down really hard.
I now am known as Big Sexy,
the Giant Killer. The preceding announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Happy birthday, Big Sexy. I was never a big Kevin Nash fan. Anybody who knows the show, I don't know what episode it was, like the first 20 episodes or something like that. I had listened to a Kevin Nash interview, or I read one, I forget what it was, and he was like just bagging on the fucking small guys, and I was like, I didn't think that it was an issue that Kevin Nash was making a big stink, but when it started picking up some steam, and he was picking up, these doing these shoot interviews and stuff, and he was poo pooing on the smaller guys winning the belts, I was like, here's a guy who, for all intents and purposes, he was in the right place at the right time. He wasn't over the top fantastic. He cut a great promo, but other than that, he wasn't that great in the ring, Vinny Vegas and Oz. But I think Kevin Nash's contribution to the sport, in, like I said, right place, right time. So let's see. All right, Pastor Sydal's in the room. Matt's in the room. Ooh, wait a minute. Whoa, new prong single. I gotta peep that. Speaking of metal, besides it being Bon Scott's birthday, it's Frankie Bello's birthday. Got any Anthrax fans in the room? Love Anthrax. They're from Queens. My boys love Anthrax. All right, I'm all over the place tonight because I'm exhausted. I did a shit ton of overtime these last couple of weeks, and I'm just exhausted. And with Dave not being in the studio and or not being on Skype, and we're not doing the anniversary show for yet another week in a row, the show must go on, and there's a bunch of material to go over. I won't do a throwback on my own because I figured that's just not cool. So we got lots of news to get into. Finally, some Facebook questions. And maybe I'll open the Skype up and you animals can call. And Married with Children with the Magic Meat. That was great. That was great. I love Anthrax. And, we'll shoot the shit. There's a lot of stuff going on lately, and I'll get right into the news. This is great. So Monday, Sting posted, he recently took to his Twitter account for the first time since April, and he posted a classic black and white face paint photo with the following caption, 7/14/14. So of course all the marks go crazy. And everybody's like, oh, Sting's going to make an appearance next week. Now, Raw next week, I believe, is in Virginia. In the scope, I think. I'm not sure. No, Pastor, the band, not the powder. Powder's kind of, sensitive topic with me since I was down at the Trade Center for 14 hours that day. So we don't talk about the powder. What do you call it? Anyway, getting back to Sting. All the marks go crazy, and they're like, oh, Sting's coming next week. No, Sting is not coming. You know what? He's obviously going to be in the new video game, which is why they were doing the whole cryptic tweet thing, and that's what's great about social media. It kind of piques your interest. If Sting makes an appearance, that would be fantastic. That would be awesome. I would love to have Sting on TV. Not wrestling because he's 56 or 57 or 55. One of he's in his 50s, and I don't want to see 50-year-old guys in the ring anymore. I don't. I really don't. All right, Richmond. Okay, I thought it was the scope. All right, I was close. Same state. Virginia is for lovers, and it's for Scott. That's what the T-shirt says, anyway. All right. So anyway, getting back to the news. So Sting, I like to see Sting on TV. I love Sting. It'd be great for the network. It'd be great for all us wrestling fans. And Mr. X is in the room. Hello, Mr. X. Nice to see you tonight. I would love to see it. What you're not going to see is Santino or Petey Williams in the ring anytime soon. Both retired over the weekend. Santino, being from the Toronto area, was at a house show last weekend, and he would come into the ring and cut a promo and told pretty much everybody in attendance that he was retiring. He had yet a third neck injury, and he is not going to be wrestling anymore. And, it was a nice send-off for him, and WWE.com played it on their site, and every other social media site did. Now, people don't like Santino. I get it. Santino's a couple of things, though. He's on a very exclusive list of guys who made their debut and won a title. He's also a legit shoot fighter. He's also a really good wrestler. The problem is, it's one of those things where creative had nothing for him. And we can go back, and that could be a topic of a future episode, of guys that was so good that had really shitty gimmicks. You know? And, well, Pastor wants to know, will Flair returning on that date, does it raise your suspicion a tad? Of course it does. I just don't want to put any stock into it and get all excited and giddy to see my heroes come back for a night on TV, and it's just going to be a video game spot, you know? Anyway, getting back to Santino. I thought he was fantastic. I thought he was comic relief. I thought at times he was great, you know, and that's what he was. He was comic relief, and he put guys over. That's what he did. He opened up a wrestling school, which is pretty successful, apparently. Mixed martial arts, and he's involved in a whole bunch of stuff. So I wish him the best of luck. And I hope WWE does keep him on the payroll for network stuff. Because he's not bad. He's not bad. He's like when VH1 started putting out those I Love the 80s and 90s and stuff. And they brought all these old comedians back who nobody gives a crap about. And they were talking about like what happened back in the day. Santino can do that for the WWE Network. And I spoke about this in length months ago when the network dropped. Here's a prime example, Sting included, Flair included, of guys that you like to see on TV, but you don't want to see them in the ring, and now they have another outlet. I would put all these guys on the network, put them on panels, put them on crazy, you know, original programming, do countdowns and best ofs, and keep it tight. So, all right. And Petey Williams retired. Petey Williams was... I loved Petey Williams and Team Canada and TNA. Canadian Destroyer, great move. He fought over the weekend. I forgot who his opponent was. It escapes me because I'm exhausted at this point. I'm on fumes. And another guy. I liked him as when he was the big Papa Pump, the mini Papa Pump, him and Scott Steiner. That was pretty cool. So, guys, you're not going to see in the ring anymore. All right. So, let's get into some other news here. I got some DVD news, which you know Phil's a big DVD mark. The WWE's Greatest Superstars of WrestleMania DVD that was originally released in 2008 was recently taken out of print, according to WrestlingDVDNews.com. It could still be found on eBay and Amazon if any of you guys looking to add it to your collection. I don't have that DVD. I thought I did. I checked my collection. I don't. I don't know what the track listing is. I'll check it out. I didn't go on the site. But one thing I will be buying next week is the Best of the Great American Bash on Blu-ray. That comes out next week. So you guys are a big fan of the old Great American Bashes, and you don't have them all on video or MP4 or whatever, go get that. It's good. Apparently it's really good. I did get my hands on a torrent for the Greatest Factions DVD. I'm about half hour in. It's okay. I mean, what they do is they talk about the factions and then they show a match. You know, it's the usual suspects, the Four Horsemen, the NWO. You know, they showed the Spirit Squad. They showed the Freebirds. You know, that kind of shit. Let me see. Got some news here. Alright. This is an awesome story here. So I don't know if you read this, but I almost got fired today at work. I was laughing so hard in my cubicle. Alright. So there's a guy. He's a state prisoner in the state of Pennsylvania. In a state prison. His name is Christopher Donnelly. And he recently filed a lawsuit against the WWE and Natalya. Donnelly actually made a several-page handwritten filing and alleged that Natalya is an evil dominatrix that abused him mentally, physically, and emotionally from 2005 until 2009. Donnelly alleged that Natalya aborted his child, beat him numerous times at hotels across the country, used obscenities such as, "This is my dungeon, you little bitch," and other quote-unquote naughty acts. According to the complaint, the man claimed that Natalia also forced him to prostitute himself. He said he wanted $250,000 in damages for mental and psychological trauma, spelling psychological wrong in the filing. If he didn't receive the $250,000 through the lawsuit, he threatened to take the complaint to higher courts and the media. On July 7th, which was, I believe, Monday, a judge in Florida wrote that the filing was filled with delusional language and went on to dismiss the lawsuit on several grounds. Here's the messed up part about the story. I believe it. I believe that she was involved in something like this. I don't believe that this guy was, you know, I don't believe this guy was totally truthful. I think she's a freak. I had a long discussion with myself on the bus, and people thought I was crazy on the way home tonight, but I convinced myself that she's a dominatrix. Kind of figured out why her enticing kid on TV, they were always butting heads, even though they just got married, they've been friends, or whatever it is, for a long time, and I figured, you know, maybe she's got this other side of her. You know what I'm saying? Maybe she was upset that her dad, you know, would shave abdominal muscles out of his belly hair into his person, Jim Neidhart, when he was in action, because he didn't have a six-pack, so he would shave the six-pack out of his body hair. You know, maybe she got upset about that. You know, maybe she's traumatized. Maybe she was in a sharpshooter too long in a dungeon. Get it? Dungeon? See? That hard dungeon. Maybe there's a bunch of freaks down there. Nobody knows what goes on in that hard dungeon. Maybe that's why Chris Benoit freaked out. Maybe that's why Brian Pillman wore fucking, you know, those silly bangle tights. You know? You don't know what went on in that dungeon. I think she's a freak. A freak, I tell you. Yeah, get David Otunga on the phone. Mr. Jennifer Hudson, as my wife calls him. Get David Otunga on the phone, Otunga Bunga. He needs Dr. Jim Andrews. He might, Pastor. You know what he needs, Pastor? He needs God in his life. That's what he needs. He needs to worship. That's what he needs. I don't know. That dude just needs to stop writing letters to the court. You know? What happens in the basement stays in the basement. This is true. This is true. And I believe it. I believe it. All right, so I didn't watch all of Raw on Monday. I heard it was okay. I've just been so, again, lackadaisical. There's just a lot of crap going on here at the Decadome. I'm just, like, beside myself, exhausted. And the hits will just keep on coming until, like, the end of the month. But the updated card for Battleground and Tampa in a couple of weeks. Let's see. You got a fatal four-way for the world title. Kane versus Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton versus John Cena. Two out of three falls for the tag title. The Rowan and Harper versus the Usos. Paige versus AJ Lee for the Divas title. A battle royal for the vacant IC title. Your combatants so far, Fandango, Sheamus, Cesaro, Sandow, Kali. Why Kali? I have no idea. Rybacksel, Bo Dallas, who cut a funny promo about the Brazilian soccer team the other day. That was pretty funny if you guys saw that. Kofi Kingston, Dolph Ziggler, Rob Van Dam, Biggie Langston, and ADR. Naomi versus Cameron in a grudge match. Nobody cares. Rusev versus Jack Swagger, Jericho versus Bray Wyatt, and that's your updated card so far. So, there you go. There's your updated card for Battleground. Looking good so far. I'm excited to see Jericho come back and put the young guys over. I like when Chris does that because Chris is a good performer. You know, he'll fight a couple matches, go and do Fozzy, and that's pretty much it. All right. What other news do I have here? Ah, yes. Got some CM Punk news. Now, Punk's contract is up July 17th. They've been showcasing him on the WWE Network. I don't know if you want to put any I don't know if you want to put any, what's the word I want to use? Validity, I guess? You can put any validity to it. But they've been showcasing him a lot lately on the network. They're doing a free week for the network. And as we speak, they're doing a Legends House Marathon. So if you don't have the network, it's $10 a month. Half you animals spend $10 on more obnoxious shit than the WWE Network. Invest in it. It's well worth it. Trust me. All right. Getting back to CM Punk. He's going to be hosting the red carpet special for the first annual Gibson Brands AP Music Awards on July 21st, which will air on Access TV. Punk commented recently in a press release saying that he's stoked to get out of the house, and he gets to be all gussied up for the first ever awards fueled by Monster Energy drink. Red carpets and me don't mix, so I figure I'll be a perfectly hilarious night with my friends and a live microphone, my favorite. Be there and be square. The event will take place on July 21st in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. I mean, if that's what he wants to do, he's going to be, listen, when he leaves the house, he'll be all over TV anyway. He'll be all over TV anyway, so whatever. I'll check it out just to see Punk. I'm a Punk guy. I like CM Punk. I love CM Punk, actually. I'm sad that CM Punk is not on television. I understand his stance. I was pissed off, and I told you guys how pissed off I was about, you know, guys being on the contract and leaving. I think it's in poor taste. Then again, I'm just a wrestling fan. I don't know any better, right? I'm just a mark, as the kids would say. But, all right. Getting back to Raw real quick. Monday's episode drew over 4 million viewers, which was up from the 4.5 last week. For this week's show, the first hour drew 4.8 million viewers. The second hour drew 4.51. And the final hour drew a 4.45, which is almost a 5, which is really, really good. This was the best viewership since April of this year, April 28th. And currently, Monday Night Raw is the number 2 show on cable behind Love and Hip Hop. Whatever Love and Hip Hop is, I don't know. It sounds terrible. I'm sure it is terrible, but a lot of people like it. What a lot of people don't like is TNA, and I don't care, because I like TNA. Speaking of TNA, Kurt Angle, Mega Powers, said to me that I should talk about this, and he was right. Kurt Angle was on JR's podcast. Kurt Angle was offered a contract recently for TNA to re-up. He's not. He's doing one more run, and his contract is up in September, I believe it is. And he's not going to renew with TNA, which means he probably wants to come back to the E. He has a good relationship with Vince McMahon, and Kurt Angle could still go, flat out. So if Kurt gets one more run, I'd love to see it in the E, you know? Yes, Pastor, Raw was number 2 next to Love and Hip Hop, whatever the hell that is, you know? All right, so speaking of TNA, they're going to do some more New York shows in September, apparently, because the, you know. And they're doing, I mentioned last week, they're doing Bound for Glory in Japan in Kurikan Hall. They're filming it, like, 4:30 in the morning our time. And they're going to replay it 8 o'clock at night our time, like regular. Because New Japan is doing a show. Was it New Japan or Wrestle One is doing a show that same night in the Kurikan Hall? So, apparently people think it's bad booking. I don't know if you guys know, but Kurikan Hall in Japan is the equivalent to Madison Square Garden here. It's the equivalent of the old ECW arena in Philly. It's that kind of vibe. So, a little parched. Let me rock some Pepsi here. Anyway, but I digress. And Bound for Glory is, I believe, TNA's version of WrestleMania. So, let's see how they come correct on that one. All right. I got Facebook questions. Let's see. Facebook questions. With my book of tea picture. I love that. No. What are you doing? Here we go. Facebook. You know what? I should play the question song. No, I don't have the question song. I have the news song. This is where I need fucking mega powers here. But he's not. He's a punk. All right. All right. Our buddy Brian Wright wants to know, do I have any advice for anybody wanting to start their own podcast? And can I get a plug for my new podcast, The Wright Report? New episodes on Tuesday. Just search The Wright Report on Podbean. Thanks. I enjoy the show. There's your plug, Brian. Let's see. And I reserve these questions for wrestling questions, not can you plug my show, but I'll throw you a bone anyway. So, yeah, listen to The Wright Report. And I do have some advice. Be yourself. Don't sugarcoat it. Validate what you say. Mean what you say. And try to be as entertaining as you can. And one day you'll be as cool as me. I'm just kidding. Enjoy. Good luck. Anybody who does a podcast, I endorse. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck. AJ Maggot, my buddy from the Bloke Show. He wants to call in, talk about some WCW. I have no problem with that, brother. You want to call in? Go ahead. Brian Kinnell wants to know if there's still going to be a McMemphis topic. Yes. I'm going to wait for Mega Powers for that. Let's see. Scott wants to know, I was going to ask you your thoughts of WWE releasing decent and promising talent, keeping shit talent like Santino, but I guess it doesn't matter now. No, Scott, it doesn't matter now because you don't like Santino, so whatever. And I already talked about Santino. All right, Gary Shaw wants to know, hey, Phil, new listener, but I've streamed a lot of the old episodes. Love the show, although I don't agree with Mega Power's opinions on the Hitman. But anyways, he's going to see Roddy Piper next week in Glasgow, Scotland. What do you think his greatest moments in the ring were on and on a mic? Well, Piper's greatest moments in the ring, I thought, was his first run with Hogan when he first won the title. I want to say 85, maybe? Yeah, 85 or 86, in between WrestleMania 1 and 2. They had some classic matches in the Garden. On the mic, obviously, anything Piper's Pit. Piper's Pit was amazing. I have like 10 DVDs full of Piper's Pit. Roddy Piper was the first wrestler I saw on TV with Dr. T. David Schultz, which got me into wrestling. He wants to know what I think about the Factions DVD. I just talked about that before. Let's see. Baza wants to know, what episode did I enjoy putting together most over the past year? Because our anniversary is this was supposed to be 2 weeks ago, but, I guess my favorite episodes we put together was the WrestleMania shows and the interview that Dave got with the book guys, with the Bruiser Brody book, as well as the Lou Thesz book. But the WrestleMania 2 for me, WrestleMania 2 is my favorite WrestleMania. It wasn't the best WrestleMania, but it was my favorite show to put together because I enjoyed it so much, and I enjoy watching it again. I had just gotten the network, and it was cool. And Dave's favorite WrestleMania moment, that was a cool thing with Warrior and Hogan. That was a fun episode. So, you know, actually, they're all my babies, so I don't know. I can't pick just one, but we've had some cool shows in the last year since Dave's joined the show. So I'm going to do a best of soon because I think I'm taking my birthday week off. I'm not sure. But I'm going to put a best of up, and I'll put some clips up there because I don't know if you guys have gone back and listened to any of the episodes before Dave, but they were pretty shitty. But either way, I had shitty equipment, and I was getting my groove, you know? Anthony Big Time Miller wants to know, if the triple threat was still around, who do you think would be a good battle with the Bullet Club, and who the original Bullet Club? The original Bullet Club is who you see now. I guess it'd be a good battle. I mean, any version of the triple threat that Shane Douglas had was great. He had Benoit Malenko, he had Candido and Bigelow, he had Brian Lee at one point. Lance Storm. So, I mean, he had some good members. Any of those guys can go. They're all good top talent, you know. A buddy Harry wants to know, what was the idea behind Sting joining the Four Horsemen? I always thought Sting was taking over for Dusty as being a top face feuding with the Horsemen. It never made any sense to me, much like David. It doesn't make sense to me that you can find such a cunt slice to be your partner, Phil. I don't know who's... Dave's getting no love from the UK tonight between Baza and Harry. I love it. You know what? I never liked Sting as a horseman. The only thing I liked about it was Ole Anderson's conviction. Ole was really good at selling a lot of shit in the ring and outside the ring. So I think if Ole wasn't a part of that angle, I would have hated it more than I hated it back then. I didn't like Sting as a horseman. I didn't like the horsemen as faces anyway. They're better bad guys. So that's my thing. And having a cunt-sliced partner as Dave, I call Dave a cunt all the time. It's not a good word, though. I'm not allowed to say it a lot, especially at work. They frown upon it, you know. So I don't say it. I just call him it on the show.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt. And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt. Now you have some more cunt kids.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
All right, Dom, I'll tell you what's next. Let's see. Any more questions? Ah, Chunky Larry. Our buddy Chunky Larry from geeksoftheindustry.com and the Mega Pals Radio and the 17 other shows that he does. Chunky wants to know, what Hollywood star would play Booker T in his biopic? I'm going to say Wesley Snipes. Only, not in size, but in stature. I want to see Wesley Snipes do the fucking spin-a-rooney. Hands down. Hands down. Has to be Wesley Snipes. Has to be. Anyway. Chunky also wants to know, if Hulk Hogan had a time machine and asked you to come with him, would you go? One extra thing. The time machine runs on pubic hair. Okay. First of all, who's pubic hair? I'm going to be the Italian answering the question with a question. Typical Italian kid from Brooklyn. Always answering a question with a question. Who's pubic hair is it? If it's my pubic hair, then I'm going back to the 50s. And I want a Fonzie jacket. That's what I want. And if Hogan asked me to go, why not? Where would we go? I guess, like, I don't know. Where would we go? Maybe medieval times? I don't know. I don't know where the fuck we'd go. Who cares? I would just be in a time machine with Hulk Hogan. We can go back to happy days. We can go back to, let's see, the Wild Wild West. Like almost like Back to the Future. Except it would be like a bad version of Thunder in Paradise. It'd be me and Hogan on some stagecoach. And we'd both have more hair, pretty much. And who else would be there? Lord Alfred Hayes would probably be like our lackey. He'd be like the Higgins on Magnum P.I. It'd be that kind of party. You can't give me too much time to think about this, Chunky Larry, because if I do, then I would write a whole fucking sitcom that wouldn't make sense. And you guys would probably endorse it, which I love. So shout out to you guys. Scott wants to know who's on the I can't even read tonight, dude. I have Matt Bowmanism. Who on the NXT roster do you feel will never make the E? You know, as much as I love Sami Zayn, and he's amazing, and he was amazing as Generico, I don't see him on WWE television right now, so I don't see him right anytime soon. And he wants to know where the hell the Monday Night Wars are. I don't know. Fuck do I know. They'll be there eventually. I'm excited about the Monday Night Wars, actually. We'll talk about that in a minute. And Baza wants to know, is Bobby Lashley the way forward for TNA? Absolutely not. I do not like Bobby Lashley. He has zero personality. He's okay in the ring. He's serviceable. But is he the way forward? Negative. Negative. Not a fan. And I don't see him as a long-term champion either. So, anyway. All right, so that's the news. I mean, and Facebook questions. And that was 35 minutes of me babbling. How do you like those apples? Who else is in there? Now I'm back in the chat room. Did I miss anybody? No. Did not miss anybody. Okay. All right. So anyway, getting back to the Monday Night Wars, I'm excited for this particular show on the network because you know what? How I did the Monday Night Wars was I would watch Raw live because I was always a WWE fan. I mean, I loved the old NWA, but I loved Raw. So Raw is like my baby, you know? So I would watch Raw. Then I would record the replay of Nitro, you know? And then, of course, I'd save the last couple of hours of my videotape for ECW. So I have like a bunch of boxes in the basement with a bunch of TV on it. I think what they should do with the network is they should have guys come on like Nash, Hall, Page, Hogan, Big Show, X-Pac, you know, guys who were there, you know, Bischoff, Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler, you know, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and have these guys talk about, you know, what they were going through at this time. You know, I mean, we can watch all of the, you know, the matches and the storylines and stuff, but I want to hear from the guys now, now that it's been almost 20 years, you know? And I want to hear what they had a feel about how it all went down, Austin and Mick Foley and, you know, I want to hear all their stories and shit. You know, that's what intrigues me. And now they have this outlet. You know? Is it too early to pour in Oakland? It's 5 o'clock somewhere, man. Go ahead. Do you, Mr. X. But yeah, man, I'm all for it. I really am. I'm all for it. I don't see any issue with them doing it. And if they should do it right, though, like I said, bring all these guys on the panel. Even referees, everybody, just bring them on. I want to hear how they felt. So they gave a sneak peek of the Monday Night Wars after Raw. Now is about it. Anyway. I digress. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I could wait for it. You know? There's enough content on it. What I'm pissed off about is they took some of the WCW stuff down. You know? Let me see here. I'm getting updates on my phone. All right. Fucking Mets taking 3 out of 4 from Atlanta. What's that all about? It's awesome. All right. Not for the baseball, but, you know, it's like Netflix. They're taking stuff on, they're taking stuff off. They add all the Saturday Night's main events, which is cool. I didn't start watching those yet. That should be fun. And I just see nothing but good things for the network. So the Monday Night Wars will be here shortly. I'm sure Dave and I will pick some apart. Maybe we'll take down a couple of for throwbacks and we'll talk about some of them because there was a lot of intriguing stuff in there. Like Chris Jericho and Ralphus, Booker T and Benoit with their 7-match war that they had. The awful David Arquette crap, you know, the Battle Bowl stuff and, you know, the NWO and the Latino World Order. You know, the Wolf Pack, and they broke up all the, they had like, you know, red and black and white, fucking, they had like 17 versions of the NWO. It got so crazy at one point. You know, Scott Steiner wasn't such a big bag of douche, he can be on that panel too, but he's got heat, I think, with the WWE at the moment, I should say. So, yeah. That's pretty much it. All right. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to grab some more delicious beverages that I have here. And I'm going to play some spots. I got some new spots tonight. And, you know, I'll come back. I'll open the Skype up. And we will finish out strong and, you know, talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. All right? So give me some good topics to talk about. Take a quick break. Let me see here. Let me just make sure. Let me cue my shit up so I make sure I don't break anything here. We're never going to have nice things. Never, never, never going to have nice things. Never, never, never. Do that. Do that. Do that. Do that. And let's see. I'll do this. All right. So you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on the Rant, rantemradio.com. And, plug my friends, and I'll be right back. Yo, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, inviting you to listen to yet another one of my favorite podcasts, Wrestling Soup. Go to WrestlingSoup.com, join my pals Joey Numbers and Anthony Missionary Thomas as they sometimes talk about wrestling, sometimes make you laugh, sometimes piss everybody off, and kick ass doing it. So join them every week on WrestlingSoup.com. Hey, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. As soon as you're done with our show, head on over to rantemradio.com. That's right, rantemradio.com. For such awesome programming as The Rant, every Tuesday night with AA and Tony C, every Wednesday night live with Turnbuckle Throwbacks with myself and the Mega Powers, you have Mr. Will.i.am Morgan every Saturday evening with the Wrestling Call-In Show with Rage, and of course you got Jordan Surfer every Sunday for the What Are You Reading comic book show with a new time every Sunday at 5 p.m. with a special appearance by the Lex Experience on a weekly basis as well. It's the entertainment you love, the history you crave. It's The Rant. RantEMRadio.com. Hey, Big Phil from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As soon as you're done with this show, head on over to the Shining Wizards Network. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. With such delicious programming as the Neckbreaker Podcast. Of course, us, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Two and a half wrestlers with Pat Buck, Jay Silva, and Kevin Matthews. Our boys Mike and Adam over at the Midnight Jury. Just Incredibles Pro Wrestling 101. Apex Wrestling Entertainment. And, of course, the Godfathers themselves, the Shining Wizards Network. So what are you waiting for? Go to www.ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Baba Booey!
Esto es Stern Nation!
Hey, this is Shuli, and you're listening to Stern Nation.
Hey guys, Cactus Matt here. Listen, if you're not getting enough Howard Stern in your week, try doing exactly what I do and tune in to the Stern Nation podcast every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Show's hosted by Andrew and Stephanie, and basically they run down the week in Stern all while taking your phone calls and interviewing some of the biggest names in the world of Howard Stern. You can find these guys on Twitter at Stern Nation Show, or you can go to violentradio.com and click on the link that we've provided for you there.
Stern Nation Podcast, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m.
GeeksOfTheIndustry.com, with such fantastic programming as Chattastrophe, Pro Wrestling Nation, Two for Flinching, Sleeve Notes, Wrestling with Smut, Cart Glitch International, The Mega Powers Radio Podcast, and the flagship, Geeks of the Industry. Go to GeeksOfTheIndustry.com now. Yes, wrestling-news.com. That's right, wrestling-news.com. Check out the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show every Monday live at 11:15, right after Monday Night Raw. Join Don Tony and my pal Kevin Castle as they just do it like they've been doing it for almost a decade. So check them out, wrestling-news.com. Doing it big, doing it New York style, wrestling-news.com.
When I listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea, I don't fall asleep at the wheel like the Junkyard Dog.
What a brother, though, once again, back is the incredible Rhyme Animal, the incredible Steve. Public enemy number one, 5 points and threes. And I got numb. Can I tell him never really never had a gun? But it's the wax that's determined in the X-Fun. Gotta got me in a cell, cause my records they sell. Cause a brother like me said, well, Farrakhan's a problem, and I think you wanna listen to what he can say to you. What you ought to do is follow for now. Power the people say, make a miracle, keep on the miracle. Black is back, all in, we're gonna win, check it out.
Yeah, yo, come on.
Here we go again.
Turn it up.
Soap on the dope and the beats and the rhymes are so dope. That's right. Yeah, bitches. All right. We're back. Yeah, man. Stern Nation. Shout out to Stern Nation. Those cats. It's some good stuff. If you're a Howard Stern fan, I definitely suggest you should check them out. They're really good guys, and they've been friends of the Wrestling Soup guys for a long time, and I'm a fan, so glad we're hooked up with them. We support them. They support us. Support all these crazy shows that I plug because they're my friends, and I love them, and it's better than listening to radio because there's no more Opie and Anthony. I don't know if you guys heard about it. They fired Anthony. Anthony went on some racist tyrant on Twitter after he got into a scuffle in Times Square, apparently. So not a good time if you're an O&A fan. Apparently Anthony was doing his own thing now with internet radio, so I wish him all the luck, but gotta watch what you say on social media, man. Peoples is out there. All right. 718-878-6394 is the number. And joining me on the line already is Mr. Surfer. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
What's up, man?
I'm just can't believe I'm home on a Wednesday night again, another week in a row.
Is Wednesday a night that you normally go out?
Well, it seems like I'm out usually on Wednesdays.
So what is a Wednesday night for Surfer? What do you do? Like, do you have a hot date? Do you go to movies? What do you do?
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been a movie guy myself lately since I moved out here to where I live now. There's a movie theater about a half a mile from where I live. And I get the Costco has like the deals, I guess. You go in there, you buy instead of a $16 ticket or a $12 ticket, they're like $8.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go to all those shows and stuff. You know, the only thing you can't do with those tickets, you can't go to like the opening nights, which I really don't care about. I can wait, you know. But anyway.
Well, I usually go to a lot of advanced screenings.
Do you really? On purpose or just because you can't wait till they come out?
Both.
Yeah, because you know what? I actually took off for the first, so I might go Thursday night into Friday morning to catch Guardians, only because they the comic shop by my house, they do like a tailgate when all these movies come out. Like when a big movie comes out, they tailgate in the parking lot, and they open the store up, and they give you like, you know, 25 or 30% off all the items.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. Anyway.
Actually, I saw a 17-minute preview of that on Monday.
And? Any good or no?
Yeah, it was surprisingly, it looks real good.
I'm excited. I really am. I think Marvel lately, I mean, we could talk about this on your show every Sunday, which is What Are You Reading at 5 p.m. on rantianradio.com. But the cheap plug. But I think lately, outside of the Ghost Rider debauchery and the Hulk debauchery, and I know people didn't like the reboot of Spider-Man, but I like that too.
Well, they're being done by other studios, not by Marvel.
No, yeah, no. Sony, and I think Sony's done now, right? Sony's done with Spider-Man? No.
It's one of those things, as long as Sony keeps putting out Spider-Man movies, they can hold on to that forever.
Gotcha.
Same thing with Fox and the X-Men.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Because Fox also had Daredevil, and they had to get a movie out like a couple years ago, or it was going to lose the rights. And Fox was going to scramble to try to start making a movie. And then Marvel tried to make a deal with them and said, look, we'll let you keep Daredevil. You give us back Silver Surfer and Galactus. And Fox thought, nah, that was less valuable to us than those other two. So they let the rights go back to Marvel.
I do enjoy, as I get older now, that more mainstream directors are picking up on the comic book stories, man. I think it's good for the old fanboys like us, and I think it's also good for the young guys and girls who are not familiar with the good stuff that we had growing up, you know?
Well, honestly, if you get the right movie.
Yeah, exactly.
In a lot of cases, it may be the biggest movie you've ever directed.
Right.
Like Jon Favreau, his two biggest movies, Iron Man, Iron Man 2. I mean, he's done movies, and he's done good movies, but never a major blockbuster until he did those two.
Yeah, and people forget he was in Daredevil. You know, so I mean,
he didn't direct that.
No, he was in it, which he was a fan, and I like that too.
Well, he's kind of cool with Quesada, so
yeah, that's fine. But he's a fan. I mean, he openly admits being a fan, and I like when that interaction's good. Even with wrestling, I like the fact that when Mickey Rourke did The Wrestler, Mickey Rourke's a fan, so you could tell the passion of the player in the movie, of the actor or the action in the movie, when they're a fan of what they're doing. You know, it's easy to put on listen, as great as people thought the Tim Burton Batmans were, you know, honestly, Michael Keaton as Batman?
I didn't have a problem with Michael Keaton.
I didn't have listen, you have to understand, too, I was 14 or 15. I had just read all the Dark Knight stuff. So I read the Dark Knight stuff, then I go see this movie, and I'm like, okay, it was cute, but it's not what I just read, and it was... You know, I was a very conflicted teenager. Nothing wrong with the movies, though. The movies, you know, weren't my cup of tea, you know?
Well, when you compare it to what came before, which was the Adam West Batman.
Oh, which they're coming out on Blu-ray this year. They're putting out the whole box set.
People are totally excited about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a slam dunk that first Batman movie was going to be a hit, because a lot of people still remember the 60s TV show.
Yeah. And it's hard for the public to latch on to something else when you've had a successful run of something in the same genre with doing, like, you know, the Adam West stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, either way. All right. So, here I am again, open mic. It's just, you know... No, Dave's not here, and I had a 45-minute babble before. So what else is going on?
So wrestling.
Yeah, man, that's what we do here.
What'd you think about Raw Monday?
I didn't see it. I saw maybe 40 minutes of it. I'll watch the rest of it before I pass out. Wasn't as great as last week. I thought last week was really good. The go home show next week is going to have to come correct. You know, and if they, they have to keep the streak of good for me to, I mean, the card for Battleground looks okay so far, you know, and they've incorporated some nice stuff. I like the Jericho Bray Wyatt thing. I like the Usos with the Wyatt for the Ronan Harper. I dig that. I dig Cena getting into the four way, you know. And that's pretty much it. Let's take another call here. Hold on a second. Turbo Throwbacks.
It's Scott.
It's Scott. Hold on a minute. Let me make sure I have my shit up now, because I'm a disaster tonight.
Yeah, it's all good.
Dude, I'm so exhausted. I couldn't even. I fell asleep on the bus today. The lady next to me was trying to do her Sudoku. I thought she was going to stab me with a pen. So, anyway, let me finish my thought. So, I liked the card, Surfer, for Battleground. I'm not opposed to it. It's really good. So, anyway, so what's on your mind, Scotty?
Not much, man. Just calling in, you know, get your little conversation going here. What's going on, Surfer? How you been?
I'm groovy. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. Raw Monday night, I thought it was all right. I liked the way it opened up. Reigns tore shit up. You know, he came out there and beat Dog Finley, Dog Noble, Dog Kane. He just beat up everybody.
That ain't right, beating an old man like Finley like that.
I mean, it was awesome. I thought it was Pat Patterson for a second, you know, with that shaved his head or something.
Yeah, where was Pat Patterson? Like, that's his hometown.
It was Finley. They said he hit Finley on the replay.
Maybe he had a room up somewhere, you know, rendezvous, but I don't know. And Jamie Noble. Hey, what's up with all these gray suits? Like, they all had the same suit on.
Must have been a good tale.
I know. I thought it was like a rent to security again with all the gray suits on.
And then Jamie Noble, senior official. Does that sound right to anybody?
No,
not at all.
Not at all.
The West Virginia punk.
You ever been to West Virginia?
Yes.
I was
actually out there a couple of days ago.
West Virginia, I was in Pittsburgh about 10 years ago, and we drove, it was like 50 or 40 miles to where I was. I was outside of Pittsburgh, and we drove out there, and all it was like these convenience stores of chewing tobacco and NASCAR hats.
The Wyatts while you was out there?
What's that?
Did you run into the Wyatts?
No, one of them was working behind the counter, though. He tried to sell me some of that dip. I was like, nah, no thanks, sir. I'll pass. Yeah, that's
good. I remember when I went out there.
Sorry, no, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I was saying, when I went out there about 15 years ago when I came down here to visit my wife, who I had just met online, I go in the store, and they're like, who's going to win the game tonight? And this was during the playoffs when the Yankees were playing the Mariners. Like, the Yankees, and they're like, what do you mean the Yankees? I'm talking about a high school football game. I'm like, who cares about high school football? I come in here wearing a Yankee jersey, a Yankee hat. What do you think I'm going to tell you?
Well, you know, in some towns, they don't have pro sports. So the only thing they have to gravitate to is high school.
Yeah. Some of them are high school and college towns. Tony C. on the line. What's up there, killer?
Hey, look, man. I call to say I want to thank you for what you posted on Monday in the chat, in the Facebook page.
Which picture did I post? Which one?
Oh, Bash at the Beach 96 when you asked what everybody was doing.
Can you believe it's been 18 years already?
No, I can't, man. Time flies. Exactly, Scott. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess.
Baffling.
To me, it seemed like it was only a couple years ago. I mean, you think back, it's been that long. Like, wow.
Yeah. And it changed the game, man.
I wasted my life.
Listen, you know, it's we can laugh about it now. And when you look back on it, it was genius at the time. And this has taken nothing away from, you know, no matter how I feel personally about Nash or Hogan, you know, the significance of it, you know, it sparked every single thing that's wrong about wrestling now, because it's always being compared to the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars, the competition. And fans who grew up with that, like you and Double A and, you know, the little bit younger than me fans, you guys, that's what you held on to, and that's what was great. But then, you know, when it fizzled out, it was, you're looking for the next thing. And now here we are, 18 years later, looking for that next thing. So,
oh, yeah, that hot. I mean, God dang, 18 years ago?
Yeah. But think about it now. And I mentioned this before in the opening of the show that, you know, I want to see them go in-depth with the Monday Night Wars. I want to see them do the panels. I want to see them bring these guys back on the show. Everybody who was a main player in that time, is 80% of them are still alive.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I want them to touch on the fact, like, on the aspect of how close they were to going out of business.
Had to.
Like, people don't understand. A move here, a move there.
I was going to say,
what stopped Shawn Michaels and Triple H from going over there and joining the Click and being the NWO also?
Yeah. What were you going to say, sir? Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was taken aback at how old Luger looked. Like,
how over he was or how old?
Oh, how old he looked.
Oh.
Like, you know, it's been a while since I've seen Luger, right? You know, since
hardcore ball.
And then, and now I'm seeing him sit there talk, and it doesn't register that he's looking old.
That's some drugs and IcoPro will do to you, surfer.
No. I'm not saying he shouldn't. I'm just saying, like, okay, now it's that realization. This guy looks old after having not seen him in a long time.
But, you know, I want to see all these guys on TV, though. I do. I want to see Scott Hall. I want to see Luger. I want to see Sting. I want to see Hogan, Nash, Hall. I want to see all those guys.
Tell the story.
Yes, exactly. I want to see X-Pac. I want to see Eric Bischoff and Vince.
In the hospital.
What's that?
X-Pac might be in the hospital.
You know what, though?
Yeah, his ass.
You know what, dude? I want them on TV because I think the significance of it all is I think their story. I mean, we know the story. We have the DVDs. We had the book. Fine. We know. I want to hear, like, what was going on. How are they feeling? Like, you know, certain angles. Like, when it got out of hand, when they were recruiting 17 different people every week. I want to hear all that stuff. I want to hear all, you know.
I want to hear who told Sting he should be the one to join the NWO.
Yeah.
And not Hogan.
You know, you hear, and some of these guys are bitter. You know, I know. Bagwell has been on a bunch of shows. On when I was doing the Man Cave show, he came on with us. He was on with the Shining Wizards, and you know, he was like, eh. You know, he was talking. He was like trash talking, and then he kept pulling stuff back. He lied about a couple things, and once once his story got out, like after the press release of the couple of shows that he did with us. Once those stories got out that he lied about, because apparently Bischoff called him to come back to TV and that never happened, and Sting called him and that never happened either. But, like, a lot of guys were bitter because the politics were bad, too. You have to understand something. When you take the greatest, the highest grossing wrestler of all time and you turn him heel and the fans like him now more than they did ever back in the day, it's like... And it was crazy because there were guys that were just stuck in the middle of the rut.
Well, they still attached their fire card to him. Bagwell joined the NWO. It didn't take a 30 seconds before he ran down
right. And
turned. So, you know. And you know the misconception is the NWO killed WCW. We hate that when that's
said.
Nah. The NWO did not kill WCW.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything else to go with once it came to a point where they couldn't go no further with the whole NWO thing.
You know what killed?
No, even if you went away from that, it had nothing to do with the NWO.
It's the whole reason. I'm saying, okay, the NWO, it took over and it was the dominant force, but you knew at some point that WCW was supposed to come back and take out the NWO, and then what happens after that never happened. I mean, they thought they could hook their wagon to Goldberg, but...
But at the end of WCW, the NWO was gone.
You know what killed... Yeah,
gone.
The NWO didn't kill WCW. Even as bad as that story went, it went on way too long, and you know, that's how I feel, but corporate America killed WCW.
Yeah.
When Time Warner bought out that part of Ted Turner, They didn't want wrestling.
No, I went AOL.
AOL, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know what I meant. But when, when they bought out Ted Turner and they didn't want wrestling on TV no more, and all these guaranteed contracts, it was like guys were on TV and they didn't, or they were off TV, they didn't wrestle, and now you have 1,700 members of the NWO, and it,
no, the NWO was dead.
Well, I mean, they were dead, but then they had different factions, and they had, you know, and they
it was bad. The NWO, the last version was 2000 with Bret Hart, Jeff Jarrett, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall.
So a year before they closed. So they went a year without the NWO, which means
and now it's spent new blood versus old blood, and it was ridiculous. Yeah.
So think about this: you had a 96. Like a
they still was drawing better numbers than TNA right now.
Of course, Tony, because it was a different time, dude. It was a different time, and they were big. Listen, they had all the big plays on TV. It wasn't like a thing where they weren't. At that time, they were at the tail end. They had their guys, like Scott said, new versus old. And then WWE, they already established their guys after the fact. They had their Austins and their Rocks and their... You know, they had all these guys
Triple
on
H, Triple H, Undertaker. Kane.
Right. And so...
Oh, yeah, they were already made. Yeah.
Yeah, but then don't forget the defections. After a while, everybody started jumping ship. Big Show came over, and then Jericho came over, then Benoit, his group, and...
The Radicals, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it was a sign of the times. When some of those contracts weren't guaranteed... And even when they were guaranteed, when Creative had nothing for Big Show, and Creative wasn't going to do anything with Chris Benoit, Eddie Malenko, or Dean and all those guys, they weren't, and Perry Saturn, they weren't going to do anything with them.
Today they hit up Goldberg.
Yeah,
they misused Saturn so badly. Here's a mop and a bucket, and go out there. That was it.
Yeah, you know,
I felt bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, it got to a point where even as bad as it was still watchable. And I hate making that comparison to now, but I think it's just a different dynamic. Back then, wrestling was more popular. I just mentioned it before that Love and Hip Hop is the number one show on television. I've never seen an episode.
I've never even heard of it.
I've never even watched it. But, like...
I mean, it's that number... The thing about that show, man, it's like a bad train wreck. If people only watch it because of the drama. It's a reality show, and it's like cursing, fighting, you know, buffoonery like that. So, you know, that draws numbers.
But
I mean, it's like former hip-hop stars, like, you know, Little Scrappy and Walker Flock. Hell, they even brought him on the show.
Okay, all right. I get it.
People like that. I remember Love and Hip Hop with Flavor Flav beating Bridget Nielsen on VH1.
But you know,
that reality show. I mean, it's along the same lines, those guys like that, but with more drama.
But here's the thing. I liked it when wrestling had the number one show on TV. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't care if it was Raw or Nitro. As long as they were the number one show on cable, I didn't care. I mean, it was that and Monday Night Football. It's all you had back in the 90s, man. You didn't... There was no Love and Hip Hop, and there was no awful reality shows. It was wrestling is not as popular as it was, man. It's not, and as let's face the facts, you know, reality TV has taken over everybody's dome. You know, it's that kind of party.
So. Yeah,
I hate reality TV.
It's the drizzling, as Phil likes to call reality TV is. Drizzling, you know what?
Man, it's the drizzling shits. Yeah, it is. It's you know, and maybe I sound old when I say that, but like, there's nothing appealing. You know, once in a while I get roped in. A good example: the other night I was watching television with the wife, and I'm perusing the channels, getting her off the home shopping network because all she does is shop, and right, and I get her off that channel, and I get to I forget what channel it is, but. Donnie and Mark Wahlberg have a hamburger franchise, apparently.
Oh, the A&E.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Wahlberg, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they roped me in. I was like, I was two commercials deep into it. I was like, I can't believe I'm lowering myself to watch this. And it was almost...
You know what's...
Well, go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead. I said, which one gets me is hardcore porn on
TV.
That old guy is hilarious.
That's why I seen Luger. Luger was on there trying to pawn one of his robes.
They gave a hockey player a job on that show. Darren McCarty from the Red Wings.
Really?
Yeah. He was down his luck.
He was a pretty big name, too.
But anyway, getting back to Wahlburgers, now I'm hooked. Now, of course. He's
in his DVR now.
You know, I got roped in. Back in the day, I watched the Osbournes because, you know, I love Ozzy. I loved Hogan Knows Best. There was a porno one on Showtime. I Want to Be a Porn Star. I watched that. That was fun. Of course, Tough Enough and stuff like that.
Did you watch the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah. You know what? I saw a few of them.
I can't.
You know, I love Kiss, but he's way off the. You know what? I did watch Flavor of Love. I get roped into these things, and I hate them.
Flavor of
like a bad trade wreck, I'm telling you.
Yeah, so that's
you don't want to look.
But now I know why. But I'm sorry, Scott. But now I know why these people like that Love and Hip Hop.
They didn't intend on watching it.
Hey, Flavor of Love, that first season, it was must-see television. I mean, when he told half those girls, yeah, I got some old friends I want you to meet, so go get ready. And they put on the skimpiest, dirtiest clothes. I mean, not dirty, but, you know, like hitting the club so you can rub their behinds on somebody. He took them to an old folks' home. And I'm like, this is just too much.
Scott, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, do you feel your IQ dropping as you watch these shows?
Yeah, man. I felt retarded. I feel retarded. And, like, with the Wahlbergs, it was like, I felt like they're such personable people. Like, they sound like they're, like, down to earth, and they're really good. Even though it might be scripted, most of it is scripted. But, like, even when I think he's dating, what's her face? Who's the fucking blonde from MTV? Come on, the one who did Singled Out. Come on, you know who I'm talking about.
Jenny McCarthy.
That's it. Okay. He brings her home to meet mom, and it was like I was 20 all over again.
Is there anybody she
She's had more turns than a doorknob.
Is there anybody she won't date?
But, Scott, I was 20 years old coming home from the 110 crew, bringing home some skank to my mom, thinking, yeah, this is the next girl.
This is the keeper.
Scott and I used to hang out in a bar, a local bar in Ozone Park. I would leave the bar with whatever flavor of the month I had, and I was in the band, and I was like, you know what? Come meet my mom. And my mom would get so mad that I'd bring these animals home, and my mom...
Random broad.
Right, exactly. My mom's like, you know you ain't going to be with this chick more than 2 months. What's wrong with you? And why you got to be a dog? You know, I didn't raise you like that, and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, my dad, like, he called me up from wherever he was at, clapping, like, that's my man right there. But, you know, but, like, I was 20 years old again when he brought What's-Her-Face home to mom. I was like, this is awesome, you know? So I get roped into these friggin' things. Now, my wife and I, we watch the cooking show a lot. We love the cooking channel, the Food Network. And every show that they have, we're in. The Chop and the fucking Cutthroat Kitchen and all these other shows, like anything that involves food, that we're in.
They're educational too, man. You learn how to cook something.
Learn how to cook and
that's
learn how to
not
be
as bad, man.
Nah, you know what? And Scott's right. You watch these shows and your intelligence becomes, you lower your intelligence. You become a fifth grader all over again, you know? And you know, like Tony said, you know it's a train wreck. You know what's going to happen. Like, you know this is going to be like, oh, my God, I know this is a bad... That's why Love and Hip Hop is so big. But then there are some reality shows that I don't like. Like, I'll never get into Survivor. I know for a fact that they cheat. Like, I know for a fact that you can't be on an island and not have any food. I know these dudes behind the camera are throwing them, like, you know, they're throwing them crackers, and they're throwing them supplements and water and stuff like that, you know? I never liked Big Brother, because you know what? I lived in a dysfunctional house my whole life. So for me,
exactly.
me growing up, Big Brother is like the Raya house, you know? It's like it's the same kind of party.
Yeah.
What about The Real World?
The Real World I liked. The first two seasons was great because you had the New York one, and then you had the California one with the gay guy and the guy Puck and the guy with the AIDS and then the guy Judd who became a cartoon artist. You know, Judd Winnick, he became a cartoonist. He worked for DC for a while. You know, he married the Asian girl who became a doctor. So all those people, I you feel like you're a part of these people. And you know what? Listen, the first real world, I met the female rapper, Heather B., man. I met her on a 4 train. I was at Grand Central Station going to my friend Jamie's house. Scott knows Jamie. I was going to Jamie's house. Jamie lived in the city. And Heather B. had just got signed by KRS-One. And her cassette single was she was selling them in what's that old? Not Sam Goody. Was it Sam
Goody?
Yes, Sam Goody. Right. So I was in there. I met her. She was cool. But you know those shows were cool. And then they got all corny. You know they started having like the Road Rules and Road Rules 7 and Road Rules 15 and
the Real World versus the Road Rules.
It was terrible, terrible.
That's where I first saw the Miz was on Real World versus Road Rules.
Yeah, I never watched any of that. But then, you know what? I think the best reality show was The Ultimate Fighter. Even if you don't follow UFC, and I'll tell you why. To get on to The Ultimate Fighter, you have to fight. To stay on The Ultimate Fighter, you have to fight. To win The Ultimate Fighter, you have to fight. I think that's awesome. You have to fist fight the entire time just to win the friggin' thing. That's amazing. That's amazing to me.
I agree with this.
You know? And you know, Tough Enough was good. Tough Enough was
good. It was.
And it was in I think Tough Enough, they tried too hard with the script. You know, they tried bringing the personalities out from these people that didn't have a personality. You know? you can't beat a dead horse. You get glue eventually, you know what I'm saying? So, that is what it is.
That is true. That is true. But I also wanted to ask you, Phil. Seth Rollins made a comment. We talked about it on the rant last night. He called John Cena the greatest WWE champion ever.
Go again. I heard you talk about. I listened to the show this earlier.
And I got
to let that go.
Damn right. I'm
to let that go.
I almost. If I wasn't watching the flat screen, I would toss it out.
You starting to sound like Rage.
No. Rage hates John Cena. I hated that comment was made about John Cena because it's the furthest thing from the damn truth.
You know, can I
address this? It's an insult to so many people.
I'm going to address what you said. You said, well, he's lost the belt so many times and he's not
he had did.
Let me finish. He's not had any long run. Well, that's just because of the era that he wrestled in. I mean, gone are the days where a champion walks around 3-4 years with the belt.
Punk did it.
Yeah, and John Cena had it for over a year, too.
No, he didn't.
He did so.
Punk had the belt for 435 days.
And Cena
John
had
Cena's
four.
Longest range is like two.
No, he had four years. Because they made a big deal when Punk surpassed him.
That's what I'm saying. That's the only range. Go ahead, Scott.
I said 11 months has seen his reign longer.
All right. So, obviously, it's a hot-button topic, and Tony C's not the only one to bring this up. I saw it on a few pages, and I have to agree. Here's the thing. Are you – being the greatest champion, as Surfer belches on the mic.
Sorry.
It's all right. But being a champion, like, are you talking about – his work rate? Are you basing it on his all around character? That's where I want to get into it. Like, you know, is he the greatest champion of our era of all time? I don't know. I don't like his work rate isn't as great as Flair's or as great as Holly rate. But then again, Hogan's work rate wasn't that great either. But he was a great champion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but my thing is with Cena. Like, when Flair would win and lose the title, he would lose it, win it back. Not that all, like, there was gaps in between. Cena lose it 1 month, win it back, lose it 1 month, win it back. That's how you get up to 15 times. Hell, Randy Orton's 2 behind him, right? Randy's at, like, 13.
Yeah,
Randy's what if he catches Cena? Would they say the same thing about Randy?
Yes.
Triple H is at
13
too.
Isn't Edge
Triple H is a better champion than Cena?
But isn't Edge like 11?
Yeah, Edge is 11.
Yeah, Edge is at 11.
You know, and I talked about this. I called in on Will's show the other night on the Wrestling Call-In show, and I was like, you know what? I don't think the belt has the significance it had even 15 years ago. Because I'm sorry, Scott, but it's like it's more of a trophy. Like it's more of like a status.
But Tony, see, can I ask you something? What difference does it make that he made a statement like that? I mean, who cares in the long run?
Because it's slap in the face.
Slap in the face to who?
To the people that were better than him.
Ain't nobody sitting at home saying, you shouldn't have said that. Why would you say such a thing?
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
You don't know that. People.
Okay.
Who watched
that?
I don't know personally, but you don't know that they would.
Who watched that and said, that ain't right?
A lot of people.
What
not
wrestlers?
Just me.
What wrestlers?
I can't speak for a wrestler. I'm just speaking as a fan from my point, from my aspect. Just they probably did that. I hope John Cena ain't that crazy, but I really believe that he okayed Seth Rollins to say some crap like that. Damn,
claim him the greatest wrestler of all time. It doesn't matter. But, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's all decided who carries the belt. It's not like they all went in the ring and actually had to fight each other for a real championship.
Well, we know Cena, half of them beat the hell out of John Cena. We know that, sir, but the fact that it was said, that's what I'm saying. I understand what you're talking, the logical. Just bring that logic on, waving on in.
I didn't think you was like that, man. You've been hanging around.
I just don't like the fact that that it was said about the fact that Five Moves of Doom is categorized as a great world champion. Hell no.
So now let me ask you this, guys. You know, you want to talk about work rate. Now, I think outside of wrestling, all the extracurricular stuff, I think Cena trumps every world champion. Okay? The work rate, Hogan had a busier work rate in terms of, I don't know about travel, but I think they wrestled more times a week, obviously, back then. And nobody said in the chat room, you know, you comparing it, are they better sports entertainers? Are they better wrestlers? There's a whole bunch of intangibles. You know, I think Seth Rollins was just acknowledging the fact that John Cena, maybe Tony's reading a little bit into it. I think just Seth Rollins is making a point that maybe Cena's the best wrestler at this time and maybe the last, you know, decade maybe.
He ain't even the best wrestler at this time.
Even at a worst case scenario, all he was doing was buttering up Cena, okay? But Tony, see, you just need to relax on that. I mean,
hold on, you can't tell me I gotta relax. I want to feel about John Cena.
If you go to,
they disrespected Hogan, Tony can't relax.
Hell, John Cena is not one of the greatest WWE champions of all time.
Let me ask you guys this question.
I can say that.
If they didn't have two belts for the last decade, how many reigns would Orton have? How many reigns would Cena have? How many reigns would Punk have?
Yeah,
how many would they? You know, because they're counting both belts. They're not saying you only had the one belt for this many times, like Flair did.
Scott just took the word. Yeah, go ahead, Scott. Finish your point. I'm sorry.
I'll say they're counting two belts in their title reigns. How many Triple H would have held that one belt for 3-4 years? But because there's two belts, they could pass it around like a blunt and a freaking 40 in a circle.
And that was my argument.
That's true. That's what I'm saying.
That was my argument to somebody recently. When you split the belts up and you made them brand exclusive, Raw, SmackDown, like that, like Scott was saying, now you've watered down the lineage. You've watered down the lineage. And as great as some of these guys were as performers and wrestlers, what kind of credibility do you have now comparing it to a Bret Hart, to a Hulk Hogan, to a Shawn Michaels, to a Ric Flair, to a Harley Race, to a Dusty Rhodes? I mean, Bruno Sammartino. Where do you draw?
That's what I'm saying.
All right, but where do you draw the line in terms of Do you even acknowledge these guys? Do you acknowledge Triple H?
I don't. To be real, Phil, after The Rock won it, after Brock Lesnar won it in 2002, you can pretty much stop right there.
I mean, but and you had
main. You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying, but you had main, you had great guys win that belt. You had great performers. You had Edge.
But it split up after that.
I understand that. And you had Eddie Guerrero, and you had Chris Benoit, and you had all these great performers. And now it's now we're saying it's an oversight because it's watered down because they split the belts up, you know. So you know where do you put it with you know even Jericho? Jericho was the undisputed champion.
Well, the plan
not
was
after 2002. After Brock Lesnar won, they split them up after SummerSlam.
It's
so
you know it's,
you know. The Rock was, just put it like this, 12 years ago, The Rock won the title, and he was at 7. And he was the first 7-time champion ever. Fast forward, what, 14 years? John Cena is now over, what, John Cena came in 03, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
11 years, he won the title 15 times in 11 years. And The Rock was there from, what, 97, my bad.
No, I'm just guessing, that's all. Could be.
I think it's not. Was it 90? Yeah, Royal Rumble. He can't. No, he came in Survivor Series, 96 or 97. Either way, that was a 7-year period, a 5-6-year period. He won the title 7 times.
All right,
so, and he was leading the way.
So now,
all I'm saying,
here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you guys to suspend your belief. I'm going to ask you guys to put your childhoods aside, okay? And I'm going to ask you.
That's going to be hard for Tony C.
No, you know what? It's not. You know
whatever.
What? Listen, I'm going to ask you this, and this is I'm talking about as an all around performer, athlete. Who is the better champion? Was it Hogan? Or was it Cena? And now I'm thinking about matches now. Now, both these guys had significant, prolific matches in the industry. Hands down. They were part of huge storylines. Hogan transcended it at one point. He started it all. So who is the better champion? I'll start with Scott.
I'm going to say Hogan.
Okay.
Because he went in night after night and wrestled and defended that belt, you know. And, you know, Cena, if he gets a night off here and there, he doesn't wrestle every night like Hogan did. You know, he's not on SmackDown. He's not on every show. He doesn't do house shows. Hogan was out there every night defending that belt. That's true.
Surfer?
I don't know who's the better wrestler, to be honest. Because I've seen both guys, when they started off and had more than just a handful of moves, but their popularity and career limited them to just doing their spots in order to stay popular.
I'm talking work. I'm talking about work rate. I don't. Popularity is. I mean, Cena is just as popular with the kids as Hogan was. With the kids.
But he get booed by the grown people.
Well, you know what? They booed Hogan, too, though.
Same. When Cena...
Hogan turned heel.
In the beginning, Cena was doing more than 5 moves. But once he became popular, you know, he had to do his spots. Same thing with Hogan. I watched when Hogan, back in the 70s, where he did drop kicks and arm drags and Matt Russell. It wasn't just... him just pushing people around because he was stronger than him.
I got a whole disc of Hogan in Japan that he actually wrestles. I know Hogan can wrestle. Tony, I already know your answer. I just want to know why.
I was just going to ask you guys. I was going to come back with your question with a question to all three of you. Let's take each one of the pretty much biggest money-making match.
Okay.
You got Hogan, Warrior. What's Cena's biggest money making match? Well, Cena against.
You don't think Hogan Andre was the money? I thought Hogan Andre was the money.
I'll agree with Phil on that one. Andre was a bigger draw than the Hogan Warrior.
Okay, you take Hogan. Okay, let's go Hogan, Andre, Cena, who?
Listen, you can give Hogan credit that he beat somebody that no one really beat. I mean,
No. I'm not even looking at it like that. I was going to say, if you put Hogan in, at that time with whoever Cena's with, and you put Andre with Cena and tell them to go, how long that match go? 20, 25 minutes, 30, yeah, something like that. You think you can get 30 minutes? It's hard as hell to get an Iron Man match out of John Cena. So I know he's telling him to go carry Andre the Giant for 30 minutes or carry the Ultimate Warrior.
He barely carried The Rock, and with The Rock had a busted abdominal muscle for 20 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. Go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say, The Rock carried him that match, and The Rock was couldn't even bend over.
That's my thing. You can't be the greatest of all time, and you got people carrying you. I'm sorry. I mean, like I said, everything we got, I got this. I'm not like Reeves. I don't hate John Cena, but I'm not finna put him on a pedestal above
for something
other
that's
people.
Scripted. You shouldn't be upset over a TV show because the guy came and said, you're the greatest wrestler.
It didn't make me upset. I was highly offended.
It's 2 days
because the words were uttered.
It's 2 days later, and you offended, and you're still talking about it, and you're still whining about it.
I'm bringing this subject up for other people to talk about because maybe they feel the same way. But at the same time, it was said. I'm not going to sweep it on the rug like it wasn't said because John Cena said it. John Cena ain't God. When you say something I don't like, I'm going to call him on it.
I know at night you go to bed with your yellow and red trunks and you got your...
It ain't about red and yellow. Because he disrespected other people other than Hogan.
You got your Hogan buddy doll to sleep with. And you got
he disrespected Rock, Austin, Triple H.
Nobody was disrespected.
No, it has nothing to do with that. Flair.
The Rock watched
that. Going. Hell, Luger. Luger was champion.
And got upset.
Come on. It ain't about the Shawn Michaels. The list goes on and on. It ain't about just Hogan. The fact that they said it about him.
So let's answer Tony's question, first of all. He asked, what was the money match for both guys? Scott and I said Hogan Andre. What do you say, sir?
Yeah, it was Andre.
And Tony, you say Warrior Hogan, right?
I was saying for Hogan. In my eyes, Warrior Hogan, and he put him over.
Now, what about Cena? Is Cena's first win in 05 his best, or was it his second reign in on tables, ladders, and chairs? Was it he didn't win it again until 2009 in an I Quit match. You know what I'm saying? Like, which, see, that's the thing. That's the problem I have with this the comparison because, a lot of these, it wasn't about drawing. Back now, it's not about drawing anymore. Back in the day, it was all about drawing.
Well, it's not about drawing. Why you got the belt then? People say Cena don't draw people. So it's about drawing a little bit.
Man, they gained drawing dick because they gave SmackDown tickets away recently to a certain show. So I don't think it's about drawing. I think it's about what's going on outside the ring, the entertainment value. I think it's the network.
The Make-A-Wish.
Yeah,
okay.
The Make-A-Wish and the Fruity Pebbles and the merchandise and all that nonsense. So now
the belt so they can reset as to what direction they want to go in.
Well, yeah, we talked about that last week because I my theory why he has the belt, and you guys know about how I feel about that because they're just afraid to progress with somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's like a safety net for these cats, you know. So, so I can't pick a defining John Cena moment. My favorite John Cena moment didn't even come as him as champion. It was him winning the U.S. belt.
Rumble.
No,
oh, yeah, okay.
The Rumble was great. The Rumble was awesome when he came back. That and when he won the U.S. title at Mania at 20, when he came out with the Nick gear at the Garden, I was there for that. That was awesome when he was still Thugonomics, you know?
And you know another, surface thing from You know, the only real beef I have with Cena, I tell people, he only put certain people over.
Yep.
He only put certain people over.
He's got a little bit of that Kevin Nash in him where he's like, I'm not fighting him unless I'm winning. You know, I'm not going to put him over.
And you know the thing that pissed me off? People give Nash so much crap. But John Cena get a pass. John Cena not losing to Dolph Ziggler. Straight up. He'll lose to him in a gimmick match, but I'm not losing to him straight up.
No difference.
I'm not losing to Cesaro.
There's some validity to that, but the difference between the difference between Nash and Cena was that Nash had the book for a while. And when Nash had the book, he was booking himself, and I was like, I mean, every wrestler who had the book did it like that, which I think is, I mean, Dusty did it to an extent, Kevin Sullivan did it to an extent, a lot
Cena
of guys.
Cena booked himself. You don't think Cena has faith over who he went against and who he don't?
I think he's got some creative. I don't think guys have that much creative control anymore, Tony. I think they have a lot. I don't think they have enough to dictate where they want to go. I mean, you know what dictates John Cena right now is outside, like I just mentioned, outside the ring. All the stuff that he does and sells outside the ring is what moves his name, what moves his persona. I don't think he walks into creative and says, listen,
I
don't feel right. Like, the back of the day, this happened, and people talked about it. Guys walked in the back, they're like, listen, I ain't doing that. And they got sent home. I remember there was an issue in Japan. I know Dave and I talked about this. Hogan had just lost the belt to Warrior. And he was doing a tour of Japan, and they wanted Terry Gordy to job to him, and Terry Gordy was white hot, right? And he wouldn't do it. He's like, how are you gonna give me any credibility? This clown just lost to Ultimate Warrior, and now you want him to pin me, and I'm the hottest gaijin in Japan right now. So you see the dynamic.
Yeah.
You see the dynamic. You see my point. It's like, I think Hogan had a lot more going on back then politically because it was at a time where there was only a certain amount of guys that were on top. Everybody else was mid-card, and even phenomenal wrestlers were mid-card. Talented wrestlers were mid-card. Guys like Perfect and DiBiase and all these guys were mid-card guys, but they were all championship caliber. Rick Rude.
Piper.
All these guys were championship caliber.
So let me ask you this, Phil. And Scott, sir, for you too. Why can't Cesaro beat John Cena?
What, say that again, please?
Why can't Cesaro, why hasn't Cesaro beat John Cena?
Because they don't want to push Cesaro. Cena's a safe bet. Maybe it has to do with Cesaro's age, but I don't know. Cesaro should be up there. He should be fighting for championship belts.
But I bet if Cena says, let's do it, it'll happen. That's what I'm saying. Like, certain, like, the Miz, like, he only lose to the Miz, Randy Orton, Edge, Triple H, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan. That's it. That is it.
Jericho. I think the booking.
Go ahead, Phil.
But the booking is better. Was better back then, too. You know, as over as Hogan was, and as at times where you thought Hogan should have lost and he didn't, even when he won and he shouldn't have won in my eyes, it was still a better book. It was still a better story. And it all comes back to the story. You know how I feel about that. You know, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I'm just saying, like, it's really, really hard now to compare some of the aspects of both guys. The dynamic of it is totally different because the time is different.
If you're over, you can lose and still be over.
You're absolutely
was
right.
White hot,
and he lost. You're because it was a good book, Tony. It was a better book. Let me ask you something.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
If this was night,
you're saying the all around story of why they lost, why they lose.
You're assuming because certain wrestlers sat in the back and dictated who they won and lost to. That Cena must be doing the same thing. I'm not saying he's not. But you don't know for sure that he is.
Do you think John Cena would have this kind of clout in 1985?
No way.
I don't know. He'll be a mid-carder at best.
He'd be teaming up with Coco Beware, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. He'd be the new high energy. But my thing is, and I'm not saying Cena is bad for business. I'm just saying, like, you're comparing. Honestly, you know, if you can't push Hogan now, Hogan didn't even get a pop at some of the stuff he came out to a couple of months ago. I think the irrelevancy of it all is like, well, it's a different time, different era, different this, different that. It's like it's same thing when I'm comparing baseball with people. You know, when you talk to old people, oh, I had Mantle and Maris and DiMaggio, and me, I had what? Dave Kingman, I had Strawberry, I had, you know, Don Mattingly. I mean, great Tony Gwynn, best hitter I've ever seen. But now I'm comparing apples and oranges because it's the same thing. Like, you know, Surfer could tell me, you know, what about Bruno? And nobody talks about Bruno Sammartino. Nobody.
Let's then want to get into. Listen, this applies to all sports or sports entertainment. Okay, here's the deal when it comes to who's best. Okay? And this is one of the problems baseball had, right? Now, in football, you can say Tom Brady's the best or Peyton's the best or whatever, right? And if you get somebody new that looking at football for the first time, but he has somebody to look at. Where, like, baseball, if you're trying to get somebody into baseball, a lot of people will tell you, yeah, well, Babe Ruth, the best one, Babe Ruth, was 100 years ago. Who gives a damn about Babe Ruth? So when it comes to these sports, you've got to have somebody that's in front of them claiming to be the best. And, like, look, I watch Bruno, but you can't get a new person into wrestling and say, well, Bruno was the greatest of all time. That was 20, 30 years ago. You got to go with somebody
like
now and point to them and say, this is the best wrestler. And then that will hook them in.
All I'm saying is even Hogan would have a count-out loss when he's a champion.
You can't come back to Hogan. Hogan is not wrestling.
Whoever the hell else you want to name, Bret Hart. He's any face that had the belt sometime lost a non-title match.
Right.
By count out.
You're right. And the difference between sports, real sports, and sports entertainment is, like, athletes get compared to their records. Like, you know, Tom Brady's won how many rings, or, you know, Dan Marino didn't win any, but Dan Marino was a better quarterback. You know, Joe Montana won how many rings, and, you know, or this guy won so many World Series. You know what I'm saying?
He's not a better quarterback, but that's another fight.
Well, that's just my opinion. I'm just saying, you know, we can go back and forth. I'm just saying, like, you know, because people are comparing his, you know, Cena's 15 championships to Hogan and Flair's title runs. And I think it's kind of unfair. Because, again, you had the watered-down era with the broken-down the belts, the break-up the belts. I thought Cena didn't face enough decent talent the way Flair and Hogan did. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's dynamics there, too. There's dynamics there, too. It's not, you know, I'm not taking nothing away from John Cena because he fought Triple H. He fought Randy Orton. He fought Edge. But other than that, Brock Lesnar. But other than that, I think Hogan fought better quality talent.
Hogan fought every corner out there.
So, if you want to compare work rate,
Hogan never beat Sting. How about that?
No, he didn't. Because he put him over. That helped me. You making my point for me. He put him over. He
wasn't a better wrestler than Sting. That's all.
I just think there's so many other guys that Hogan could put over.
That may be true.
But he
also put a lot of people over, though.
He would have beat the best of WCW. He couldn't do it.
They had guys in place, Surfer. WWE doesn't have guys in place. I mean, they do, but they're afraid to push them. You could put the belt, like Tony said, you could put the belt on Cesaro. Why can't you put the belt on Cesaro? You know what I'm saying? Why can't you? I would put the belt back on Jericho because he's a good talent. He can still run. You know what I'm saying? But they won't do it. They won't do it because they're afraid.
Nope.
They're afraid. That's my point. You know, it's really hard to compare title reigns because of the it's diluted. It's like,
all I'm saying is, listen. It seems like I'm trying to defend Cena. All I'm saying is, Tony C, you don't need to get upset over what's said on a TV show. It's just a television show.
Surfer, it's freaking. We talking wrestling here. That's what we do. It's okay. Conversation. You bringing real life into this, man.
Well, I come can't, on. I can't help
you.
I can't help
it. We wouldn't have sports radio if we didn't dissect everything that was said on the air or anything.
I know, but
we might as well play Tiddlywinks.
Getting upset over Seth Rollins trying to butter up John Cena is not worth it.
I don't think he was upset. I don't think he was upset. Literally, yeah, he was just upset at the story. You know.
But the point of the matter is, you said Hogan didn't beat Sting. That's right. We put him over. You put him over. Oh, that's what you do.
So
that's what you do.
It's just he put him over. It wasn't that Sting was a better wrestler. Uh-huh.
He put him over. Sting will never be as big as Hulk Hogan in no lifetime ever.
Yeah, but
it did Hogan no good to beat Sting.
He's talking about pure talent.
I got
Hogan was nowhere near the wrestler Sting was.
I'm going to throw you a wild card, and I'll say something. Like, people tell me all the time, well, you know, Flair, I had a friend of mine tell me, well, you know, Flair was 16-time world champion. I mean, but he lost 16 times. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? You look at the list of guys that he put over in his title reigns, and it's a who's who.
That he lost the belt to, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Except for Luger.
I'm sorry, Tony. I'm cool with
losing
that.
Losing to Ronnie Garvin isn't like high on the.
But he put him on. Okay, so that's like when Khali had a title run. I think Ronnie Garvin. Let me say Ronnie Garvin's serviceable. You know, you look at Ric Flair's title reign. Look at the caliber of guys he fought, and I'm telling you right now, I dare anybody to compare Ric Flair's title reign losses and wins to any champion in the last 25 years. And I'm going, well, the last guy to have at least a halfway decent title reign like that was Bruno. Because Bruno fought everybody in every territory. He fought Buddy Rogers.
But he didn't put Luger over, and Luger was white hot. As soon as Flair left, who did he give the belt to?
Because Luger was a bag of douche, that's why. He was the most miserable person in the locker room. And people, listen, look at that list.
You know,
Steamboat, Harley Race, Dusty Rhodes. Come on, man.
Luger had a chance to be WWE champion, and he wimped out and left. What did that tell you?
Because, listen.
Now he got drunk and told everybody.
Lex Luger, $1 million body, $5 brain. And I've said this from Jump Street. You know how I feel. Lex Luger had the world by the balls, and he just didn't take advantage. And listen, Vince threw the fucking WBF at him, and he still was a big bag of douche. How do you build a bodybuilding thing around somebody? You bring the guy in, you give him a tour bus, you give him the keys to the kingdom, and you still not win the belt? You have to be the biggest asshole in the locker room. When you get your own tour bus, you get to go on the Intrepid and slam Yokozuna.
Nobody else had a bus.
Exactly.
Don't do Lex like that, man.
Listen, I call.
Everybody else is still driving around rental cars.
Come on, Tony. You got to call spade a spade, bro. You can't tell me Lex Luger had the keys to the kingdom. I thought honestly. I thought Luger beat Flair at the Bash that one year when they had to stop the match because of the blood. You remember that match? When he had him in, was it 89? Refresh me. Was it 89, 88?
No, yeah, 80. I think it was 89.
89, yeah. True Grit was 88.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. 89 was, he had him in, it was in Baltimore. I was talking about this with Lee a few months ago. And it was like, you know what? I thought Luger won the belt. Never. He never won the belt. They gave him tag titles. They gave him U.S. titles. They gave him the Crockett Cup. They gave him everything else but that. And then Vince.
He wanted one Flair left. They gave it to him.
Right. But you can't blame Ric Flair. That was just the difference. They changed the guard, man. They changed the booker. They changed everything. Dusty wasn't in no more. They weren't.
Flair didn't want to put my boy over.
I can't endorse. I cannot endorse Lex Luger the way you. I can't, dude. I'm sorry. But getting back to Flair, and we'll wrap this up. Comparing Flair's title run to everybody else's is like apples and oranges. It's a who's who of fantastic combatants. That's the bottom line.
Who he dropped the belt to? Well, probably this what all Hall of Famers probably.
Yeah, well, this was a healthy dose of John Cena and Hulk Hogan tonight. I thought you know, the gripes are there, but it's not. Again, it's almost like comparing it to apple. It's again, I say it again, apples and oranges. It's like you can't compare certain things because it was just a different time. It was a different time, and Seth Rollins saying that, probably just the heat of the moment, probably non-scripted, and like Serpa said, he probably just wanted to butter him up. That's pretty much it.
My ass.
Well, I'm not buttering your ass, but you let your new wifey do that, and then you,
Tony C. when you go to bed tonight, you got your Hulk Hogan.
So disrespectful, Serpa. That's my bottom line.
Got your Hulk Hogan nightlight on. It'll be all right. Just remember that. It'll be all right.
Actually, I have a Hollywood rock nightlight. So there.
That's awesome. All right, listen, guys, I'm going to start wrapping this up. We'll get some closing thoughts. Scotty, give me some closing thoughts, man.
Closing thoughts. Hogan, better champion, best champ in the last 25 years, and I'll give it to Punk because he went out there, he worked. And he held that belt, longer than Cena, longer than anybody since Hogan had it, and that's it.
That's fair. That's fair. Surfer?
Yeah. I'm just going to call it a night.
All right. And Tony C?
You said last 25 years, Scott? Punk?
Yeah.
That's a story for another show. Phil, no. you got to table that one.
Punk to the best of taking his ball and going home. That's what he is.
There you go,
man. I'm still.
I'm not happy that he did that, but his reign as champ, you can't deny it. 435 days. Show me another champ. What? Like you just said, Cena had 11 months, and that was it.
Last guy to do it.
Cena was hurt. Don't forget, Cena was hurt during that time.
Punk wrestled hurt.
It's true. See, that's it. See, here we go again. Now it comes down to work rate, comes down to who he fought. It's debatable.
All injuries aren't equal.
No, you're right. Guys play hurt all the time. It's in every sport and every kind of entertainment. So it is what it is. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this was fun, guys. This was fun. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
All right, I'm going to let you close up shop, my man.
Yeah, let me close up shop and get some rest and wrap this bad boy up.
All right.
You guys have a good night.
Good night, guys. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Well, later.
All right. See, this is why we'll never have nice things. But we will have nice things because this is what we do. This is it's a healthy dose of wrestling talk, and you could take this to the next level on every count. And everybody can watch the same thing and have a different opinion on it. That's just how it is. All right, I'm gonna start wrapping this up, man. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with me tonight in the chat room, and Tony C and Surfer and my buddy Scott for calling in. And hopefully Mega Powell will be back next week after he's done playing with the Asian people. And we'll get our anniversary show going on, and then we'll have a huge throwback after that. We haven't done a throwback in a couple of weeks, so we'll be prepared. We have a tasty, tasty morsel of treats picked out for you kids. And thanks for everybody for tuning in, man. It's been really good. I got some nice feedback in the UK and Middle East, and I'm getting hits all over the place on Twitter, and you guys are awesome. Let me start doing my plugs. Well, again, this is the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, exclusively on The Rant and the Shining Wizards Network. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We are on Buzzsprout. We are on the Audio Boo, geekliferadio.com. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. What else are we on? You could tweet us, at TBuckleTbacks. You want to snail mail us, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. Play some music here, because Mega Powers wanted some music, so I'm going to give this one's for Mega Powers. Yeah, man, support all of our friends, all of them. The Shining Wizards, the Midnight Jury, Neckbreaker, 2.5 Wrestlers, Fallen Angels, Apex Wrestling Entertainment, Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredibles Pro Wrestling 101, you got The Rant, The Wrestling Call-In Show, What Are You Reading with Surfer, Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, The Bloke Show, Mega Powers Radio, NXT Cast, Metal Thunder Radio, Tattoos and Touchdowns with Will Sweeney and Chris Espo every Sunday, 10 to noon, live on, what is that, morelikeradio.com, Uncle Eddie and Ham Radio, planetplatypus.com, Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast with Justin, Independent Point of View with JP, Fucking Ronnie with the Nerd Port, Elizabeth Moxley, NASCAST 5000. There's so many guys. Of course, GeekCityIndustry.com. Support those guys. All of them. Everybody. So, for everybody in the chat room, everybody listening at home, everybody listening on the download, we're back next week. You guys have a great rest of your week.